ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाई ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाई मी लेट देयर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देयर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी who I am engaged in the pursuit of the self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. There is a beautiful incident in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. Once, a devotee came and complained to Sri Ramakrishna that I am suffering so much. Why does God make me suffer so much? Instead of answering, Sri Ramakrishna asked, put a counter question, who are you, sir? And that is what we have been discussing. We were studying the Panchagni Vidya, which is a most marvelous concept. So what is this concept of Yajna? All Srishti, Sthiti and Laya on the part of Brahman is a Yajna, because from the state of Brahman, Nirguna Nirakara Brahman, he had become Sakara Saguna Brahman. That is called Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. On our part, we are also none other than Brahman, but he deluded himself. I am not one, I am infinite number of jivas, living as well as non-living also. So, our birth, our sustenance and our death, they are also part of the Yajna. What is the concept? Everything is a Yajna, whether we are aware of it or not. And this Yajna is being done by Brahman. Everything is Brahman doing Yajna all the time. I, you, we, nothing exists excepting Brahman. How to understand this? So, the Bhashyakaras, the Acharyas, they give the analogy of a dream where we convert all our imaginations, we create, we become the creator, Saguna Brahma, of our dream world, and we become many. I, the one waker, becomes infinite number of objects in my dream, and I am a friend of me, I am an enemy of me, I bring delight to me, I also bring unhappiness to myself, but as if someone else is doing something out of my control. When we wake up, we understand, I myself have made myself many. I created the world, I entered the world in the form of infinite number of living as well as non-living. Don't forget, when you see a mountain, you yourself have become that mountain, which is called jada or lifeless. So that is the understanding we must have. Brahman has created this dream world, which is, we think, very real, this entire creation. So, what are we supposed to do? We are also supposed to convert every action into an yajna. What is it? I am a participator in the Leela of God. Who is thinking? Brahman is thinking. Who is moving the body? Brahman is moving the body. Who is making the mind think? It is the Brahman only. And this idea has been put in the language of a devotee, in the Durga Saptashati, Yadevi Sarvabhuteshu Shakti Rupena Samsthita, Buddhi Rupena Samsthita, Vidya Rupena Samsthita, Vritti Rupena Samsthita, Bhranti Rupena Samsthita, etc., etc. You are very loving, that is the Divine Mother manifesting. You are very active, that is the Divine Mother manifesting. You are intelligent, that is the Divine Mother manifesting. You are deluded, that is Divine Mother manifesting. You are sleeping, that is the Divine Mother manifesting. You are awake, you are only an instrument. And that instrument also, not you, it is also the body is Divine Mother. So we can say, Yadevi Sarva Bhutesho Sharira Rupena, Deha Rupena Samsthita, Mano Rupena Samsthita. Yadevi Sarvabhuteshu Jagrat Rupena Samsthita, Swapna Rupena Samsthita, Sushupti Rupena Samsthita. Then where do I, you, anybody come in? We do not exist at all. Everything is Brahman. If we can think, Naham Naham Tuhu Tuhu, as Sri Ramakrishna taught this great mantra, not I, but thou, that is called converting every action into an yajna. What would be the result? This type of sadhana, thinking everything is God, removes ignorance and makes us free. Again, that is a Leela of God only. And this concept that everything is God is so beautifully brought out again in Shiva Manasa Puja, fourth shloka, wherein the author, we do not know who was the author, Atmatvam Girija Matehi Sahachara Pranaha Shariram Griham Puja Te Vishaya Upabhoga Rachana Nidra Samadhi Stitihi Sancharaha Padayoho Pradakshana Vidihi Stotrani Sarvagiro Yadyat Karma Karomi Tattadakhilam Shambho Tava Aradhanam. Simple meaning is, O Lord Shiva, you are my Atma, my soul, and Devi Girija, that is the Divine Mother, Parvati Devi, is my Buddhi, and the Shiva Ganas, the companions or attendants of Shiva and Parvati, are my Pranas, and my body is your temple. My interactions with the world are your worship, and my sleep is the state of Samadhi. My feet, when they are walking about, is doing pradakshinam, circumambulation to you. And if I speak, all my speech is your hymn, your praise. And whatever is done by this body and mind, that is called work, all that is your aradhana, O Shambho. This is the idea. So, Swami Vivekananda, after hearing from Sri Ramakrishna, Shiva Jnane Jiva Shiva, and that is called Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga is nothing but converting our life into a continuous yajna, which again is called a Leela of God. This is also called participation in the Leela of God. And therefore, Swami Vivekananda hymned in his wonderful hymn, Khandana Bhava Bandhana, and it is all about the nature of an avatara, description of an avatara. That is why it is called Avatara Stotram, not Ramakrishna Stotram, but Eviravatara, Avatara Stotram. And what does Eviravatara do? Pranarpana జగత తారణ క్రింతన కలిడోర్ దేర్ వెరీ బర్త్ ఈజ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ యజ్ఞ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు డూ గుడ్ టు ది ఎంటైర్ క్రియేషన్ విచ్ ఆర్ దెమ్సెల్స్ అండ్ సేమ్ థింగ్ అప్లైస్ దట్ మీన్స్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు కన్సిడర్ దెమ్ లుక్ అపాన్ అదర్స్ ఆల్సో హూ ఆర్ ది అదర్స్ హోలీ మదర్ స్వామీజీ డైరెక్ట్ డిసైపుల్స్ దేర్ డిసైపుల్స్ Whoever has been sincerely devoted to Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swamiji, and trying to perform this Karma Yoga, they are all that Pranarpana Jagatatarana. We saw up to this in our last class. Now, let us dive deep into the original text itself, because it is a quite a number of mantras are there. After that again, we will try to recollect the essence of what we had talked about. So the story begins. Shvetaketuhu ha aruneyaha panchalanam samitim eyaya tamha pravahano jaivalihi uvacha kumara anutvasishat pita iti anuhi bhagava iti. Once Shvetaketu, the grandson of Aruna, came to the assembly of Panchalas, and Pravahana Jaivali was the king. He was the son of Jivala, therefore he got the name Jaivali. Like Dasharatha's son is called Dasharathi, Vasudeva's son is called Vasudeva. So this Pravahana was the king, that was his proper name, and his title is son of Jivala. So this king Pravahana, somehow, this Shvetaketu, we do not know whether it is the same, probably is a different person. So he came to this Sabha, to this king, and the king saw him, received him very respectfully, because Shvetaketu was a Brahmana. And then he inquired, because in age he was very small. He said, Kumara, addressed, the king addressed the Shvetaketu, Kumara, my boy, has your father instructed you well? That was the question put by the king. And what was the answer of Shvetaketu? He has indeed revered, sir. So Shvetaketu also was very respectful now, for now. He has indeed revered, sir. But he had, my father had instructed me, taught me very well. That means he had taught me all the important things in life. How many parents really instruct their children in what is the most essential thing? When we are talking about spiritual life, there are so many people who rebel against and say, I don't believe in God. So if there was God, then this world would have been a most happy life. At least as far as I am concerned, let the world go to dogs. But if he keeps me happy, healthy, then God exists. I am ready to believe. But if he makes other people very happy, but me very unhappy, I am not prepared to accept such a God. Why am I saying this one? Because what do people see? They say so much of evil, so many wars, so much of oppression going on. So, is nobody happy in this world? Is everybody a fool? Is everybody an evil person? That can never be. If we have a little bit of intellect which can impartially inquire into the nature of this world, that is, if we know how to apply logic, reason out well, then we can understand this world is a mixture of good and evil, happiness and unhappiness, and good people and evil people. It is a mixture. So there must be happy people. Even the person who says, I am not happy, how did you know, sir, you are not happy? Because unless you are unhappy, you will not know what is called happiness. Unless you are happy, you will not know you are unhappy. your very knowledge I am not happy is totally founded upon the foundation of the experience called I was a happy person. And when that changed, I am experiencing unhappiness. A person who doesn't know what is white will never be able to recognize what is black. This is called logic. So, not only that, look at this world. How many great people it has produced. Great scientists, great musicians, great statesmen, great writers, great poets, great sculptors. In every, practically every field, there were great people, there are great people, there will be great people. But our vision had become clouded. Therefore, if we have to be impartial and pass judgment upon God, we have to look. Then we can alter our argument and say, if God existed, why could not He make everybody happy, everybody great? Yes, I see so many people great, so many people very happy, but there are some people who are the opposite. So that should be a reasonable statement, but not to say the whole world is evil. That is not right to say. So this is how we have to understand. So even if somebody says that I do not believe in God, there are certain laws of life. You want to be healthy and you have to eat healthy food. Only healthy food can make a person healthy. Then of course exercise. Then there is wonderful potentiality within each person. You just read the biographies of any great person. You will understand everybody, each one of us is unique. So we can also become great. May not be greatest, may not be equal to many other great people, but each one of us have got some potentiality. Let us develop that potentiality. Not only that, when a person doesn't develop God-given potentiality, I'm not talking about divinity, I'm talking about what is called ordinary talent. Somebody can cook well, somebody can sing well, and how many people became great in this world? Not because everything was soft and smooth and favorable, because superhuman, insurmountable obstacles, how many people had faced, and they had the will, they had the desire to unfold their potentiality, and then they became great. Greatness will not come simply dreaming about, simply thinking about. It will come only when we really strive to overcome our limitations and simply bring out the potentiality, means that which is already within us but is not brought out. That is called potentiality. So, even if somebody doesn't believe in God, doesn't want to speak about spiritual life, but everybody wants to be happy, there is no doubt about it. And then every parent, anybody can tell others, instruct others. You see, you don't need to believe in God. In fact, those who believe in God, most of them may be very unhappy people. But there are people who are very happy. They don't go on boasting, we believe in God. But they know the laws of life. They follow the laws of life. And they prove that one can be a very happy person, whatever be the circumstances, external or even internal. Just one example I want to give. So, there was one lady called Helen, and she became blind at the age of 2 years or so. And she became deaf also. So, she could not hear, she could not see, she could not speak. But irresistible willpower. So she went on struggling and she became a famous author, lecturer and speaker, and she inspired millions of people. Whereas under the same conditions, many people, they lose all hope. So, even if somebody is not talking about God or spiritual life, and there is no need actually to talk about them, because my experience is, most of the religious, so-called spiritual or religious people are miserable people, well as worldly people, at least to a great extent, they are happier people. So we have to correct our wrong understanding about spirituality. What is spirituality? The attempt to manifest our potentialities and become more and more happy by manifesting them. That is what I define as spiritual life. And this can be accepted by anybody, not necessarily believers in God. So, in the olden days, people believed, especially Brahmins, in the Vedas, in the Upanishads, and Upanishads teach us these marvelous truths, and that is what this Pravahana, so Jaiwali, inquired of this, "My boy, did your father instruct you in the very, what is called, right guidance? Did he give you right guidance about life? What is life? What is the goal of life? And how to live life? These are the three most important questions." So, this is the questions that he asked. Kumara anutvasishat pita iti anuhi bhagavatiti. So, what did Svetaketu reply? Anuhi bhagava anusishat. I have been very well instructed and my father told me, I have instructed you very well. Now, the subject matter comes. So, what is this? What was the first question he put? King Pravahali Jaiwali, Pravahana Jaiwali, he is putting this question. Vetha yat itaha athi prajaha prayanti iti. This was the question. Vetha, that is, do you know, yat itaha, from this world, that means after death, athi means after death, prajaha prayanti iti, do you know where people go after death? Na bhagavaha iti. No, sir. Revered sir, I do not know. I have not been instructed. Vetha yatha punaravartanta iti. Do you know, having departed, how they return again into this world of creation? Na bhagavaha iti. No, sir. I do not know. Vetha pathoho devayanasya pitruyanasya cha vyavartana iti. At least, do you know that there are two paths? Have you heard their name? One is called Devayana. It is also called Shukla Paksha. Another is called Pitruyana. This is called Krishna Paksha. And these two, at some point of space, they separate. So for some time, maybe the departed soul travels and both paths are going that way. But there will come a place where the Krishna Paksha goes another way, the Shukla Paksha, or the path of the gods and the path of the ancestors, they part ways. Vyavartana means part ways. Do you know? Na bhagavaha iti. He said, I do not know, sir. Do you know where created beings go after death from here? No revered, sir. Do you know how they return again? No revered, sir. Do you know the place of parting of the two paths, the path of the gods and the path of the fathers? No revered, sir. This very mantra indicates a great truth. What is that truth? That death doesn't exist. Because if death means complete non-existence, the question of their going somewhere doesn't arise. The question of, again, their return to this world, that also doesn't arise. Only if the jiva is alive, but he has just given up. It is like traveling from one place to another place. So if I or you, we buy a ticket and go to some other country, do people say, oh, this person had died? Will anybody say that? They don't say that. Oh, he has gone to that place, he'll be coming back. Maybe he will come back after 50 years. Maybe he will not come back. But he is there. He is not dead. He has not become non-existent. And then that is the first point. There is no death. Second point, every jiva, according to the karma that he or she does, they get the exact results. So if somebody had led a very beautiful life, very virtuous life, he will go to the highest lokas depending on the degree of virtue the person had done. And then how long he will stay, so long as again his karma phala lasts. And then he will have to come back until Brahma Loka. A Brahma Bhuvana Lokaha Punaravartino Arjuna. Bhagavad Gita says, even if somebody attains to Brahma Loka because of extraordinary punyam, the person had to come back. Because only when a person knows Aham Brahmasmi, then there is no coming, there is no going, there is no birth, there is no death. Until that time, the person keeps on coming, making some progress through good and evil, through happiness and unhappiness. And by the way, happiness and unhappiness are only aids to make us desist from evil and to cultivate more goodwill and unselfishness. They are not meant to punish us, but they are meant to train us to travel in the right path. So to all these questions, what was Shvetaketa's answer? No revered sir. He is telling revered sir. He must be fuming inside. So we have to understand. Then the questions did not stop. Veta yatha asau loko na sampuryata iti na bhagavaha iti. Veta yatha panchamyam ahutavva apaha purusha vachaso bhavanti iti na eva bhagavaha iti. Further, Pravahana Jaiwale is asking, do you know, my boy, why the other world is never filled up? No revered sir. Do you know how at the fifth oblation, the liquid oblations, unseen results of our own actions, come to be designated as man? No indeed, revered sir. We will talk about these oblations. There are, that is what they are called, Pancha Agni, five fires, faith, etc. So we will see about those things. So for every question, no, 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 I do not know, I do not know, I do not know. That was the answer he gave. So Veta Yatha Asav Loko. Asav Lokaha means that higher world after death, when a jiva attains to that other world, na sampuryate. So supposing billions and billions and billions of jivas go, but it is never full. Why is it not full? Do you know why it is never full? Do you know why this earth is never full? There is never full. Those who know at least a smattering of science, they should know there are billions and billions and billions of countless species of all sorts of lives, right from the one-celled to the most evolved human beings. Every species, there is a urge to propagate, to make them more and more. But why is it that there is enough space in every created world? You know what is the reason? So the scientists tell us that when any species becomes too much beyond their capacity, they lose their capacity to survive, because one species uncontrollably becomes huge. There will not be enough sustenance to keep them alive. So some natural disaster will take place. Some enemies will come. So that's why there was some kind of rat-like, I forget the name, and their population simply explodes, billions of them. And there is no way that anybody is going to reduce them. What do? Something peculiar happens, which nobody is able to explain. No scientist can ever explain. As soon as they grow up a little, they burrow deep inside the earth in holes, small holes. So as soon as their population explodes, on one fine morning, how it happens nobody knows, on one single day, billions, millions of them just come out and travel towards the sea to commit suicide. And on the way, jackals, wolves, dogs, wild dogs, birds, so many, they have their fill that they are unable, the birds will be unable to fly because they have overeaten. And yet millions of them, they cannot die that way because there is no killer. So they travel and they reach the ocean, they cannot swim, they drown, they commit to suicide. Mass suicide. Why do they do that? Nobody knows. But what is important for our talk, that nature keeps a balance. Every species is kept in balance. There are so many instances. I don't want to go. That will itself take several talks actually. But the essence is very simple. Nature is alive. Nature is the Divine Mother. Any species grows bigger than its maintainable size. Some disaster takes place. It may be earthquake. It may be war. It may be pestilence. It may be flood. It may be famine. It may be anything. But immediately, the population comes down. Study history. So many black plague and all those things, centuries together, either war or plagues, etc., decimate the population and brings them under manageable size. That is a natural law that happens. So that is why no world is completely filled. It doesn't be, oh, now we cannot accommodate even one single more person. No such thing like that. So something happens and everything, nothing is filled. So also, everybody is not going to the highest loka. Though it is not mentioned, some people, they go to the lower lokas. Some people go to the higher worlds. How long do they stay? Not permanently. After that, they just come down so that they are given another opportunity. We are all given another opportunity to understand ourselves better, to understand what is life, understand what is the goal of life, understand what we need to do in life, and that is what Swami Vivekananda summarized in 3 sentences. Each soul is potentially divine, and the goal is to manifest this divinity, and this divinity can be manifested through the 4 faculties of action, of devotion, of mind control, of intellect, and we become free. This is the goal of life, and this is what we need to do. And if we do not do it, sooner or later, nature catches hold of our neck and makes us do it. That is why Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, and Sannyasa Ashrama are not options according to our choice. They are choiceless choice. As we outgrow one ashrama, we are naturally join the next higher ashrama. And when we live properly, that ashrama itself will throw us out upward into the next higher ashrama until everybody becomes a sannyasin or until everybody manifests his divinity, knows Aham Brahmasmi and becomes free. Nature will not keep quiet. That's why our acharyas have said the whole of nature is nothing but an evolutionary escalator. It will not stop. But just like an escalator, it is a beautiful analogy. Not only it takes us up, it also brings us down. When we come down from God, forgetting our nature, that is called involution. And after some time, we have no choice but to go up. That is called evolution. This involution and evolution is Brahma Chakra going on all the time for eternity. So, what is our goal? To understand these questions, to obtain wisdom, which is getting the right answers to these questions. They are not questions merely put to Shvetaketu. They are questions that one of the greatest rishis in the form of this king is putting to each one of us. So he says, Yatha asau lokaha na sampuryate vetha o Shvetaketu. Do you know why that other world is never filled? Na Bhagava. No sir, I do not know. Vetha yatha panchamyam ahutavva apaha purusha vachaso bhavantiti. Do you know that at the fifth offering, the liquid offerings, that is liquid here means the seed of the man, which is called semen, and the seed of the woman, which is called the woman's seed. Both of them, ovum, both of them come together and the result will be the birth of a baby. Here Purusha means birth of the baby. Purusha means every jiva. But here specifically, all these questions pertain to a human being. So how a human baby is born at the fifth fire, which is done with the liquid, this one. Do you know? Na eva bhagava iti. For everything, no, no, I do not know. No, no, I do not know. No, no, I do not know. This is going on. Five questions have been put. Then the king turned towards Shvetaketu and he is directly addressing, Atha anu kim anusishto avochatha yohi imani na vidyat katham sa anusishto bruvita iti. Sa ha vayastaha pituhu artham eyaya tam hovacha ananusishya vavakila ma bhagavan bravit anutva sishamiti. Then Shvetaketu challenged his father, says he reached his place, and then he became very hesitated. Who? Shvetaketu. Because he could not answer even one question. So he says, the king said that, why did you say, I have been instructed by my father? Why did you say? For how can he does not know these things? A person who doesn't know the answers to my questions, how dare he say, I have been instructed? So Shvetaketu was distressed and came to his revered his father, and then he addressed him, his father's place, said, revered sir, without having instructed me properly, you said, I have instructed you. See, abruptly, without any introduction, Shvetaketu blurted out, you have done something very wrong. Father, you did not instruct me, but you told me, you instructed me. Why did you do that? Naturally, what happened? The Upanishad doesn't tell us, but we have to guess. The father must have been astonished. Said, Baba, I do not understand what you are asking. You tell me what happened. Okay, I went to this Panchala's kingdom. There was this, what is called, a worthless third class king called Pravahana Jaiwali. And he put me five questions. I could not answer even one single question. And I felt very bad because I am a Brahmana and he was a Kshatriya. And he questioned me and I could not answer. But at the beginning, the king asked me, are you well instructed? I said, yes, yes, my father has instructed me everything. I become a living, walking encyclopedia. I know everything. Proudly I replied. Then he put five questions. I never heard these questions in my whole life. Even if I don't know the question, when I do not even know the question, how am I to answer those questions? And then he used a word, Rajanya Bandhu. That means insulting the Pravahana Jaiwali. That means This Shvetaketu was full of egotism, full of pride. That means he was not a learned man. Why do we say? Because there is a wise saying. It is called Subhashitam. Vidya dadati vinayam. When a person, the more a person becomes learned, the more humble that person becomes. So he should have said, I have been asked by king, and he seems to know much better things than us. Even you did not know. So you did. That is why you did not instruct me. Surely, as a father, if you had known, you would have definitely instructed. But what was this? He confronted his father and said, why did you say that I have instructed you well? I went to this kingdom and he put me some questions. I could not answer even one single question. That is going to be coming in this fifth mantra. Pancha ma rajanya bandhu prashnan aprakshit tesham na ekam cha na ashakam vivaktum iti. Sa ha vuvacha yatha ma tvam tatha etan avado yatha hamesham na ekam naveda yadyaham iman avedishyam katham te na avaksham iti. This is a conversation dialogue between Shvetaketu and his father Aruna. So what was that? Shvetaketu was abusing that great king whose knowledge was superior. See, that nominal Kshatriya, Rajanya Bandhu, asked me 5 questions and I was not able to answer even one of them. And then Shvetaketu must be glaring at his father. Then the father said, even as you have spoken to me about them, you told me about all the 5 questions that king had asked you. So also I do not know even one of them. Because if I had known them, why should I not have instructed you? I myself am ignorant. Therefore, whatever I knew, I told you completely. I have not hidden anything. But this, one of the questions. So, it is not said in the mantra, but father must have asked. Now tell me, what were the 5 questions that the king had asked you? Because you could not reply even one of them. After hearing what were those 5 questions, then the father realized, this is the first time I am also hearing those questions. So I do not know anything about these questions at all. Answers, let alone answers, I never even heard about those questions. This is the purport of this fifth mantra. So Shvetaketu is complaining, shouting at his father. Rajanya Bandhu, that king, one of the worthless of these kings, not to be honored as a king. Ma, that means to me, pancha prashnan aprakshit. He asked me 5 questions, pancha prashna. Tesham, of those questions, ekam cha na ashakam vivaktum iti. Na ekam. So of those 5 questions, ekam api. Even one single question, aham, me, ashakam vivaktum iti. I could not answer. Even one. Saha uvacha. Now saha means here the father. After hearing this, how uvacha? He replied, yatha ma tvam tada etan avadu. That means father must have asked, what were those 5 questions, my child? And Shvetaketu must have told him. He said, whatever questions you were asked, you narrated them to me. Tan avadaha yatha aham esham na ekam na veda. Just like you, aham, me also, esham, of these 5 questions, ekam api, not even one question, na ekam, not even one question, na veda, I do not know. Father was telling, yadi aham iman avedishyam, if I knew about these 5 questions, and I know the answers also, because here also, we may know the question, but we may not know the answer. But both father and son, they never even heard about the questions, let alone the answers. Katham te na avaksham. How could I refrain from instructing you? Whatever I knew, I told you. I also do not know. Therefore, I did not teach you. Therefore, what happens? Gautama was very humble. Vidya dadati vinayam. Then he approached the king and then he got instructed. So the father must have told, my son, I also do not know. Let us both go together to that king and then sit humbly at his feet. Learn. Because there is a saying, a humble person is ready to learn even from an illiterate person. Even something very great wisdom can come out of the mouths of babes. So we do not know. I do not know. Therefore I did not tell you. But I am prepared to sit at the feet of the king, even though I am a brahmana, because I am thirsty of knowledge. Supporting Sri Ramakrishna's words, Yavat Bachi Tavat Shithi. So long as I live, I learn. Many of our devotees may be under a wrong impression. Sri Ramakrishna is Sarvajna, he knows everything. So there was no need for him to learn everything. No. Swami Sharadanandaji makes it crystal clear. As soon as Sri Ramakrishna, of course by the Divine Mother's will, had approached Keshav Chandra Sen, and through that the Brahmo Samaj, Sri Ramakrishna understood several things. We will discuss these things in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuho. May Sri Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.